It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And on this particular day, Palm Sunday, is the beginning of Holy Week. And for 30-some years, our church in where we pastored before, we would start this day, and through this next week, we would have a following the footsteps of Christ through the Passion Week, and every night there would be a one-hour gathering at the church where we would follow the footsteps of Christ. And it's always been a very important time for us to celebrate this Holy Week. And it's probably more holy than most other weeks that we celebrate, but there's all of this great emphasis that is now going to be put for this week on what happens in the life of Christ. And who doesn't like to have a parade? This is one of the things of this triumphal entry of Christ into the city of Jerusalem, that it was a parade. And whenever I think of that, there's certain parades that I kind of at least look at. And here in Paso, there's the Christmas parade with the parade of lights. Then there's the Pioneer Days parade. And when you know it's coming close, when you look down the street and here are people that have already put their chairs out and they've already put their blankets out, of reserving their space for the parade. And every year the big parade for Trona was homecoming. And that was the time when people walked the 10 blocks through the city, and that was it. It's always a short parade, but it was one of those that was quite interesting for me, that our church put a float in each year in the parade. And it took about 2 weeks of preparation of getting all of the signage and all of the things ready for it. Each the day of the parade, we would get there and be about an hour and a half of assembling the parade, which was on a 8x18 trailer. And had the skirting, and the form was all the same. We just changed all the signage. But when the parade was over, it took 15 minutes to disassemble it. I mean, it was kind of crazy. But I enjoyed driving the float because I liked to hear what people were saying. And one of the things was, what are they going to have this year? Because there was always a scripture. There was always a spiritual emphasis, and we were the only church that did anything for the parade. And but it was always that, what are they going to do this year? And I think that's what I want us to focus in on today, of what are we going to do this year? How are we going to, as Christians, how are we going to celebrate this time of the year leading up to Easter Sunday and all of the great things that are going to happen because of the empty tomb? And we are able to celebrate. And I think that's one of the neat things, is we don't just go through things, we celebrate. There's things we do. Well, there's things I do. And one of the things I have the privilege of doing, and that is, I just want to remind you again this morning that all of you are in my prayer almost every morning. While you're sleeping, I am awake. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, nobody else is doing anything, and God needs some help, so I'm the designated person to do that. And so between 2 and 4:30, I don't know what you're going through. Don't know your struggles, but I do know your name. And when I just speak your name, then the Lord knows what you have need of, but so that you know that daily you are being brought before the throne of God in prayer. And that's not some kind of a pat on the back. It's just wanting people to know that you're prayed for. And that if you, there is a special need, God knows what the need is. And as I mention your name, then that we just let the Lord do his work, and that you're not forgotten. And somebody is praying for you. So if at 2 o'clock in the morning you're awake, you'll say thank you to Pastor Mel, and we get to have this moment together. And it's, again, a privilege to be able to do that. And I used to be able to say I do it every morning. Lately, I can't say that because they've changed some of my medication. And I'm medicated. So if you think I'm bad now, just wait if I hadn't been medicated. But the medication has some different effects on me, and I've had to change some of the things that I do. And one of those is I end up falling asleep in the middle of prayer. Like many of you fall asleep in the middle of the sermon. It's pretty much the same. But when you start, you know, other than pastor doing his spiritual jerk, that if the rest of us, when we go to the land of Nod, that think, okay, it's time for me to stop and get on with whatever else is going on. But today I want us to focus upon, the events of the day. And I'm looking in the book of Mark, chapter 11, which is one of the references that it gives for the triumphal entry. And there's a couple of things that are interesting, and they go back to the parade, that whenever there's a parade and there are animals that are in the parade, like the Rose Parade, and that they have the equestrian units, they have the bands. You know, it takes time for animals to be able to deal with all of the noise of a parade. Probably it's been, about 20 years ago now, about that. There was a young lady who decided she was going to put her horse in the Trona parade, and there was about five of them that were going to have their horses, and they were just going to go down the parade route. Well, as soon as the parade started and the sirens of the fire department and the police department and the honking of the horns of all of the other class parades and the shouting of the cheerleaders and all of the noise that goes along with that, all of a sudden this horse is going crazy because it just had never known anything like that and was bucking, and they ended up grabbing the horse and taking off to a side area. And why I mention that is that for this day, the donkey that Jesus comes into Jerusalem on was never ridden before. No one had ever sat on that animal. And yet there was never a problem in all of the noise and shouting and declarations that were being made of the people that were surrounding Jesus as he came into the city of Jerusalem. And you know, that donkey didn't buck him off at all. As a matter of fact, nothing ever happened other than normal for riding in on this animal. And I thought of the miracle of that, just that alone, that Jesus is in control, and where he is, there's peace. No matter what the circumstances, where Jesus is, there's peace. There's calmness. There's assurance. There's this overwhelming desire of just being quiet in his presence. Because you know this, and I know this, that life sometimes gets tedious. We get busy with life. We get busy with things that are going on. And sometimes we're right on the edge of, are we really going to be able to hold it together? Maybe not you, but me, that would be able to hold it together for a series of things or events that are taking place. As I look at the scripture, I'm reminded again that Jesus had told his disciples on at least three occasions. I'm sure that there's more than that, but there was at least three occasions, scripture tells us, that Jesus said, I need to go to Jerusalem, and I will be betrayed, I will be arrested, I will be condemned, I will be turned over to the Gentiles to be beaten and to be whipped, I will be flogged, I will be spit upon. And they will kill me. But on the third day, I will rise again. Three times he told them that, and they did not believe him. They did not understand. The scripture says, and they couldn't figure out what he was talking about. Here, Jesus, the Messiah, coming into the city of Jerusalem, and this is what's going to happen, and he's going to go there anyway? Yes, because he had an appointment. He had an appointment to take your sin and my sin and carry it onto the cross and then take it through the empty tomb. There goes Easter Sunday sermon for Pastor. By the way, he's going to preach next week. He's going to be our guest speaker. Because the following week after that is Dick Williams is going to be here. And so I guess, Pastor, you're going to be the guest for this month. But anyway, that Jesus was telling them all these things was going to take place. They thought it was like a fairy tale. They couldn't grasp hold that this was going to happen to the Son of God, the Messiah, the one that they had been following for all of these three and a half years, and that he healed the sick and he proclaimed hope, and he's now telling them that he's going to die. That's not what they signed up for. They signed up to rule and reign with him, that Jesus the Messiah was going to take over and cast out all the Roman leaders, and he was going to take charge, and things were going to be different because now there's going to be a new political group in charge. And they could hardly wait for that because they were going to find out that they had a place because they were with the man. They were going to be able to, he was going to rule, and they're going to be right with him because they were his disciples, and they were going to take over, and there was going to be all of this. And he's talking about being put on a cross, and he's going to die, and he's going to be put in a grave. They could not grasp that because they had in their minds how Jesus was going to function and how he was going to react to things. And as most of us, when we think we've got something figured out, all of a sudden, especially spiritually, God surprises us around the corner with something new. And you know, Jesus just gets a kick out of doing that. You know, when we got him all figured out, all of a sudden he changes course. But he forgot to tell us that there was a course change. And all of a sudden, like, wait a minute, what happened to the parade? I thought it was taking this turn, and all of a sudden it's going the other direction. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Because we want to rule with him. We want position. We want authority. We want to not be dog catchers. We want to be in control. But like everything else, when we think we've got it figured out, Jesus says, oh, I've got to change the plan. I'm going to leave. I'm going to go to the Father. But I will send the Holy Spirit. And they're thinking, wait a minute, we came to follow you. Now you're telling us you're leaving and you're going to send something else, somebody else, to do something different than what we're used to?
Yes.
And you're going to like it. Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. You're now telling us something we hadn't heard before, and now you're throwing this curveball at us, and we thought we had it all figured out because we were with the man. We were with the Messiah. Listen to what they were saying. All of these people, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Son of God, the Father David. And they're just having a grand time marching up and down the street. And all of these people now are hearing these declarations. And people say, who is this? And someone says, oh, it's that Jesus guy. Well, then let's get in the parade. And so you'll find that those people that are shouting all of these things, some of them are followers of Christ. Disciples are kind of like his security group right around him. And so that as they're moving down the street, they're moving people so that there's a pathway for Jesus to get through. There's other people that are just coming and getting in on the parade just because they like to be in the parade. They like to be where people are making a lot of noise and people are shouting and they like it. They think it's a football game. But they're having all of this, these things that are happening around them. But there are some that are devout followers of Christ that mean and are meaning everything that they're saying and believe in their heart. And there's others that's just going along for the ride. And it's just like it is today. There's some people in the church that are going to church just because it's Sunday and that's what you do. You go to church. Doesn't mean that they're going to worship. They're just going to go to a place and they're going to sit for an hour and a half and some long-winded guy's going to get up and talk forever and ever, and you wonder if he's ever going to stop, and he keeps right on going. He looks at his watch, which means absolutely nothing, and then you finish, and you after service, you go out to a restaurant, and you go home, and you take a nap, and get up and watch whatever sport happens to be on at the time. And we think, okay, we've done our spiritual thing because we went to church. There's some, as I'm believing most of you or all of you are true followers of the Lord, that you have come today to worship. And with this, the worship team that has led us in worship today, how great it is that they have given themselves time, their time, to help us come into that place where we're ready for Jesus to do something new for us. I don't want something left over from years ago. I want something new and fresh today. I don't know how many times, well, I know there's been almost 60 years of preaching that there's always been a Palm Sunday. You look at the scriptures and there's nothing new. It's the same. But every time I read it, I find that there is some nugget of truth that I have somehow skipped over or missed when I had preached that sermon. As a matter of fact, a year ago today, I was speaking on this Palm Sunday. So I went back and I looked at the notes of which I happen to have all of those notes from all of those years back, in case on my demise that somebody's going, what did he ever preach on? Well, here's all of the notes that somebody's going to have to go through and deal with, and it's not going to be my problem. And same thing with my books. It's not going to be my problem. My boys are going to have to deal with what to do with those. And I just find great pleasure of that they're going to. And then they're going to think, Dad, why did you do this? Well, because I'm dad and I have a weird sense of humor, and making people a little bit uncomfortable sometimes is just wonderful. And then there are people saying that there's something wrong with me, which we all know is true. When I look at the scripture again, looking at Mark, it reminds me that the people that were involved in the events of the day had many different motivations. Some, they really wanted to serve the Lord. Others, they wanted to just be in the parade. Others, that they just wanted to, as again, Trona is a small town, and the parade route is probably 10 blocks. And it goes through the town square by the theater, down by a residential that runs parallel to the highway, and ends up at the, starts at the library and ends up at the football stadium. And people will run alongside to find out what candy is being thrown from what vehicles. And you can see all the kids following because there's always, somebody's always throwing candy, so that they've got their bags ready to pick up all of the candy off the street. But that's their motivation. They're there to get something. There's people that was always interesting to me. What are they saying, as I said earlier, what are they saying today? What is it going to be? How are they going to talk about the theme of the parade? And the theme of the parade on this day was Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Jesus that came into Jerusalem is the same Jesus that wants to come into your heart and your life and make a grand entry. He wants to have a parade in your life. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you strength. He wants to give you peace. And we come by saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We can't get beyond that. If you get beyond, you've missed the parade if you try to go farther than that. But blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And how in your heart and your life, no matter the circumstances, no matter all of those things that are going on in your heart and your life, that he wants to come and declare his peace, his joy, his comfort, his healing. You say, well, Pastor, you talk about healing all the time, but you and Pastor Pat are going through physical problems. God didn't say we're not going to have problems. Didn't say that. He said he was going to be with us through. Someday, there's going to be a new body, not in this life, but in one to come. Doctors can do what they can and try to make us live longer and more fulfilled lives. But there's some that God is going to heal now. There's some that is a process of being healed, getting better and better every day. And then there are others that they're going to be healed out of. That when we get to glory, there's not going to be any of, no more pain, no more suffering, no more painkillers, no more of all of that stuff. It's recently, been a little while ago, I was talking with one of my doctors, and he was saying, you know, well, we can change the medication and do this. I said, Doc, wait a minute. There's no more room in my medicine tray for each day. There's no more space for any more medication in it. I'm maxed out. There's no more room. Well, maybe we can try and change it. No, doc, you don't understand. I don't have room for that. But it might help you. I says, yeah, and it might not. It says, well, you're somewhat skeptical. Yep. Because I know what God has told me about what is going on in my body. And I don't want to put a damper on anybody's faith, but God told me I'm not going to be healed. Took me a while to get over that, because when the doctor told us what was taking place, I just held Janet in the hotel room and just cried. Because he says, this is what you've got. This is what's going to happen. And I didn't like the diagnosis. So the doctor the next day sent me to a different doctor to get a different opinion. The problem was, he came back with the same opinion. And that through it, God was going to use us to help other people learn something about this particular disease, which is a rare, how could I have anything normal, have something rare that they've never heard of before. And it's been a real blessing to help doctors and technicians and all of those in the medical profession of how to deal with this thing. And I've told you about it before, and for those of you, I had to learn what it was, and it's called diffuse idiopathic skeletal hypercytosis, ossification of the longitudinal ligament. And I got it. It's rare. How can I have anything normal? You know, but anyway, God has said that his grace is sufficient, that in my need, he will meet me and he will give me strength. And that is a prayer for daily. Lord, you promised that your strength would be made perfect in my weakness. And this Jesus that comes into the city of Jerusalem declaring that he is going to change things, not as people wanted them changed, but what was going to take place in hearts and lives and in the city of Jerusalem and in all of Judea. As the declarations were being made, people were putting in verbally what they believed, or just because everybody else was doing it. And in church today, there's a lot of people that are just doing it because everybody else is kind of doing it, so let's do it too. And not allowing God to come and meet your need right where you are today, because he wants to make that kind of an entrance, as he did in the city of Jerusalem. He wants to make that kind of entrance into our hearts and our lives today in newness and freshness of his presence. He doesn't want to give us leftovers. He wants to give us the first take on the meal. And that is Jesus. He's the one who is our peace. He's our hope. He's our strength. He's our confidence. He's the one we lean on when everything else seems to be going south and we don't know which way to turn. We turn to Jesus and he's there. At 2 o'clock in the morning, he's there. 4:30 in the morning, he's there. Then when everybody else is getting up and about in six or whatever time you make your way out of bed, he's there. Throughout the day, he's there. And we can count on him being there. Because his promise is, I will never, hear this now, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never do that. So we can say, my confidence is not in what he does, but what he says he's going to do. Because the world is trying to get us to think in terms of what our problem is and not what the solution is. One of the songs that Jason and the team were, I mean, Nathan and Jason and the group were leading us is that when we see the battle, you know, the battle belongs to you. It's not mine. I'll fight on my knees. And I have to do that metaphorically because if I get on my knees, I can't get up. And, you know, it used to be funny. I've fallen and I can't get up. Until you have fallen and you can't get up, it's no longer funny. All of a sudden, it's like, call someone to get help to get me up off of the floor. Whether it's our son and daughter-in-law. One time I fell and Janet called our son and he and his wife and daughter came over and all four of them had trouble getting this old man off of the floor. Other times they called the 911 and the fire people from around the corner came and tried to get me up I'm not easy to get up when I'm on the floor because it's just pure weight. And you can't help them because at that point you are helpless. And that's when you cry, oh, dear Jesus, take me now. You know, may your rapture take place may that entrance be into glory so that I don't have to be in that. But then I thought, but all of the people that would miss me, all y'all would miss me. Yeah, thank you, Steve. Yeah, my adopted grandson. And he likes that. And I like that. There are the things that when Jesus had come into the city and people had surrounded and who is this? This is Jesus. That he went to the temple grounds at the end of the day and he looked around. And then he left and he went back out to Bethany to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He looked around. Looking ahead, tomorrow is when Jesus went in and cleansed the temple and threw out all of the money changers, all of the things that they had set up to make things easy for bringing their sacrifice. Instead of having to bring them from home, they could come to the temple grounds and they could buy the sheep or the goat or the oxen or the doves and change the money into the temple, paying the temple tax. They had that all set up in the booths around the outside, so it was convenient. The problem is it became, if you'll give me an extra bit of money, I'll get you closer to the entrance. I can get you to where you're going to get the greater amount of people. And they had made this now a swap meet, if you will, in the temple grounds and had changed what God had said, my house is to be a house of prayer, and you made it a den of thieves. That happens tomorrow. Well, I'm not going to go through the rest of the week, but he looked around today, and he saw what was going on, and I'm sure in his mind, in his heart, he knew what was going to take place the next day. That he was going to cleanse the temple and it was not going to go easy on anybody. They were then going to be more angry with him and they're just going to call for a crucify him. The same people that are shouting today, Hosanna, blessed he that comes in the name of the Lord, are the same ones that are calling for him as he's carrying the cross down the Dolorosa and Dolorosa, and on his way to Golgotha, the same people say, crucify him, crucify him. Because somebody said, let's crucify him. They got on board with that. Just like today is Hosanna. And where are you? Are you in the Hosanna or are you in the crucify? Are you in the one who's blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord who do away with him? If you want real peace, if you want real joy, if you want real happiness, you will only find that in Jesus. Nothing else is going to matter but what you have done with Jesus. Have you been in the Hosanna or are you in the crucify? Are you going through the form and the ceremony and the ritual or are you genuine in your relationship with him? No one can answer that but you. And it's a question you have to answer. Ultimately, we stand before the throne of the Most High God and give an answer for what we have done with Jesus. Have we been in the Hosanna, blessed is he, or are we crucify? Get rid of. Leave us alone. We don't want to have to change and adjust our life. We like things the way we are, as messed up as they are. We're content as they are. I'm sorry, I'm not content. I contend for something more. Something more for you and for me and for us as we, in just a few moments, and you might want to have somebody run down and let the kids know we're almost ready for them. Okay, Steve, thank you. That we're almost ready for them to come. Because we come to serve and to understand the gifts of what God has given to us. And communion is one of those that reminds us of the sacrifice that Christ made and that as we come up to the Passover, which would be on Thursday, that the Passover meal, that there is reminding that Jesus is reminding us what he has done for us. How much he loves us. That he gave his body to be broken. He gave his blood to be shed for us. That we deserved none of it, but his grace and his mercy that is far beyond our understanding, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we didn't care about him, he was caring for us. When we were telling him, leave us alone, he still pursued us. Because his love will not fail us. His love will hunt us down. And sometimes his love has to knock us down. We don't like that part. But sometimes, we need to be brought aside for him to be able to caress us, to embrace us, and to love us. I just the other day was going through Facebook. I'm sorry I do that. And if any of you are following us on Facebook, if anybody reacts to that, that's generally me. If somebody is writing something, that is Janet. Because I can't, my fingers don't do all those other things, but it does hit the like button or the, you know, and I can do that without really messing up the whole thing. Periodically, I will hit the wrong button. And I call for Janet, and so she said, what'd you do this time? I said, I don't know, but I pushed the button and everything has gone haywire. And sometimes I have messed it up so bad, we've had to have Michael come, and we've had to have other people come, and we've had to have, and they're all saying, oh dear Lord, why is he doing this? Because he doesn't know any better. I'm not technical of anything. And I remember I was preaching and I was talking about, didn't know what algebra was all about. Joel comes and tells me after service, he says, I use that all the time. And I wanted to say, what's wrong with you? But as we come before the Lord, I want us to be able to receive all that he has for us. And the communion is one of those times where we come aside and we know that his blood was shed for us. No, his blood was shed for me. For each of you, his blood was shed for me. His body was broken for me. Because if you were the only person alive on this planet, he would have done the same thing just for you. Because he loves you so much. Bow your heads if you would, please.